prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
It is the Truth Revolution. Welcome. This is where faith meets reason, and we contend you don't have to get rid of one to appreciate the other. I'm Dave, and sitting to my right here is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Dave, I think we're going to have a great show today. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you know, we're going to start a deal today. We're going to look at Bible contradictions. We're going to continue to do that.
Supposed Bible contradictions.
Yes, and we're going to look at that coming up over the next several weeks, and that might be one of those things that we keep continuing to do as long as we can find those supposed contradictions. Also, we're going to touch on the topic, have Christians caused wars?
Oh, good question.
Yes, and, you know, the violence and Christianity type thing, I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And we're going to answer your questions. If you want to go ahead and call in here, it's 785-823-9596 here at the studio, or toll-free 800-608-1150.
So if you have a question about any of those topics, from Bible contradictions to have Christians caused wars, or really anything in general, what we talked about last week or this week, just go ahead and call in. That number again is 823-9596. We'll definitely hit those after the commercial break, but we might take some earlier on. You know, last week we were talking about how we know God exists.
Right.
We talked about this thing called the teleological argument, and I think, Dave, we proved God exists last week. I don't think there's any question. If you listen to the show last week, you probably should have walked away going, wow, man, I think God exists.
Yeah, some people didn't. we ruffled some feathers out there. So
Actually, we got flamed on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We uploaded a couple of our clips and we got flamed. Some people totally did not agree with what we had to say. Not only did we get some objections, we got some angry objections.
Yes, one guy actually went as far as to say that, you know, that the whole Bible story thing is taken from earlier Mesopotamian
myths
and stuff like that. And then one guy actually got down in the playpen and was calling us names.
Yeah, actually, that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that part.
Well, you know, what do you do?
No, look, we're going to answer those objections, because even though they're a little upset, they did bring up some good questions that I think deserve to be answered.
Right.
And we're not afraid of questions here. We love questions. We love discussing these things. And so we're going to try our best to answer their objections, you know, without calling them names.
Right. We do welcome questions. So if you have questions, go ahead and, or a challenge, you go ahead and call us. That number again, 785-823-9596. Or if you're far away and want to use the toll-free 800-608-1150. Or if you're actually connected to the internet.
Computer.
Yes, computer. Go to truthrevolution.tv and you can find all of the different ways you can get hold of us.
Like, you can shoot us an email or hit us up on Twitter, mm-hmm. and we will get your questions that way as well.
That's right. But first, we're going to answer some Bible contradictions.
Yes, that's right. We're going to look at the Bible, the contradictions or supposed contradictions. A lot of people say that the Bible is full of errors. That, mm-hmm. that you know, if you just really studied the Bible, you'd see that it couldn't be from God. It's totally from man, because there's errors all over the place. I don't think there is, Dave.
I know you don't.
I think that there are no contradictions in the Bible. I think there are difficulties, things that are sometimes hard mm-hmm. to explain, or things that we can't figure out the answer for right now.
Right.
But I don't think there are any genuine contradictions in the Bible. And so we're going to discuss that, because I think we've got great answer for those sorts of things. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I mean, you're in the wrong profession if you don't think you can answer those.
Yeah, and so I think we're going to have answers for all of those. So let's do a Bible contradiction right now. We're going to check this out and see if we can figure out if the Bible has a contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Well, today's Bible contradiction says the book of Mark says Jesus was crucified on the third hour, mm-hmm. but the book of John says the trial took place at the sixth hour.
Oh.
So we're talking about trial at sixth hour, crucified at the third hour on the same day?
What?
How could that happen?
Yeah, okay. Why don't you read those Bible verses just so we get it really clearly?
All right.
Because it looks like Jesus was crucified before he was put on trial.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens to some people. Mark 15:25, it says, it was in the third hour when they crucified him. John 19:13-14 says, When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement. It was about the sixth hour. So, on trial around six, crucified at three.
Doesn't make sense.
Not at all.
Doesn't. So, first thing we have to understand is that there are rules to reading books.
Okay.
I mean, not just the Bible. Definitely there's rules to how you read the Bible, but there's rules to
left
books
to right.
in general. Here's mistake number one when you read stuff. And this is true if you read the newspaper or if you listen to a story on KSAL. If you assume that the unexplained is not explainable, you're in trouble.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things that aren't explained. And if you assume that it's automatically a mistake, then that's a problem. Aristotle, he has this thing called Aristotle's dictum. It basically means you give a benefit of the doubt to the writer of a book. You say, okay, look, if there's something weird here, I'm going to assume that the writer of the book wasn't so stupid that he made a mistake.
Right.
I'm going to assume that I need to reread this to understand it. So I think that's the first problem here. I have a list of 18 or 19 mistakes that people make. Number 18 on that list is not astounding the original... What was that funny?
It was just... We just jumped right to 18.
So. Yeah, we skipped 2 through 17. But number 18 is not understanding the original culture. And I think that's what's going on with this
right.
Bible verse. I think if you understood the culture of that time, you would know there's no contradiction here. Because the book of John that says Jesus was crucified in the sixth hour, that was written to the Romans, and it followed the Roman time system, mm-hmm. which goes from midnight to midnight like ours. So the sixth hour after midnight would be what?
6 o'clock?
In the morning.
In the
way,
morning.
Way earlier than right. you got up today, Dave. So sixth hour would be 6 in the morning. But the book of Mark follows the Jewish time system.
Okay.
And the Jewish time system is on a 24-hour period like ours, except that it starts 6 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Ah.
It doesn't start at midnight. So the third hour after 6 a.m. would be?
9 a.m.
9 a.m., which means the book of Mark says that Jesus was on, or the book of John says Jesus was on trial at 6, and the book of Mark says he was crucified at 9.
Uh-huh.
So 6 a.m. on trial, 9 a.m. he was crucified. Does that make sense now?
That makes total sense.
But you have to understand the original culture to know that that was not a Bible contradiction. So that is the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's get back to the objections about God's existence, the teleological argument.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Teleological argument basically goes like this. If something looks like it has a design, or if it looks like there's good design, well, actually, no, let's start way back before.
Okay.
Okay? All designs imply a designer of mm-hmm. some kind. So if there's a design, it implies someone designed it.
Right.
Like the watch in the forest that we talked about last week, mm-hmm. you know that a human made it. It wasn't by accident. Now, there's great design in our universe, so there must be a great designer of the universe. In other words, you just have to look around, and the very fact that the world is so complicated, there is great design from plate tectonics in our world to the way our body works. DNA is what we talked about last week.
Right.
The way our brain works. All these things have great design to them, so someone must have designed them. That is the teleological argument.
All right. And, well, so basically what... You're really deep into apologetics.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is one of the things that we do over at Revolution Church a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that. So if you're interested in stuff like this that we're talking about, be sure to come on out. Right now we're doing it Saturday nights at 7.
7 o'clock Saturday night.
So and that's over at over on South Street. What's the address?
1125. So if you know where Ace Hardware is, we're right across from there.
Right. So come on out Saturday nights and join us, and you'll get a lot more dosage of what we're doing here.
Because we love questions, man.
We do.
And one of the questions we got was on YouTube.
Right. The first guy, of course, he was talking about the
Mesopotamian
yes,
cosmology.
How we borrowed our religion from somewhere else, okay? But he says, this is what he says. He says it's pretty much indisputable that the biblical creation story uses ancient Mesopotamian cosmology, where God parts the primordial waters and creates a sky dome with a flat earth beneath it. All the civilizations around the Jews believed roughly the same thing, and large parts of the Old Testament appears to be copied from earlier polytheistic traditions.
Okay, what this guy's talking about, basically what he says, is that the Old Testament in Genesis, where it talks about how God created,
mm-hmm.
he says basically this wasn't original. The Jews didn't make this up. Everybody believed these cosmology myths about God parting waters and earth being created, and they were Mesopotamian myths. It was polytheistic, so they believed lots of different gods. And after a long time passed, there were less gods, and then even fewer gods. And pretty soon it ended up the Jews wrote a nice little story about one god. And he's saying these Mesopotamian stories are way older than the story in the Bible.
Okay.
Now, the Mesopotamian stories are older than Genesis. Genesis was written after them. But he's missing something here. Do you know what it is?
Enlighten us.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay.
Please, I'm curious.
He's using stuff that was taught before 1974.
Okay.
Because before 1974, everybody thought, all the scholars believed, that the Bible was one of the newer creation myths. That, you know, hey, these people were polytheistic, and after a long time, cultures became monotheistic, and you know, they kind of made it up. But what was found in 1974 was a place called Ebla, which is near Syria, or it's at Ebla, inside Syria. And in 1974, they discovered what's known as the Ebla tablets. Somewhere between 16,000 and 20,000 clay tablets were found.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and on these tablets, this is what's really cool. These tablets parallel and confirm the early chapters of Genesis. And not only do they confirm it, but they are the oldest known creation accounts, even outside of the Bible. Older than these things from Mesopotamia. And what it confirms is that it's monotheistic, meaning these tablets suggested that there was one God who, actually, let me read you this one tablet.
Okay, go ahead.
It says on the tablet, there was the Lord of heaven and earth. The earth was not, you created it. Light of day was not, you created it. The morning light had not yet made existed, but you created it.
Genesis.
That's not Genesis.
I know,
that's
but
an
it's
an Ebla tablet.
I know, but it's
yeah, it sounds just like Genesis,
it does.
Doesn't it? And so these things were probably somewhere around 2500 BC. That is like 600 years before the Mesopotamian myths.
Wow.
And we didn't find these until 1974. But now this is where it gets really cool, because not only is it really close to Genesis, and this is like the very first creation story that existed on the earth, it also reports things very similar to the Bible. It refers, are you ready to have your mind blown?
I'm sitting right next to you. I better be prepared to have my mind blown.
These tablets use the names Adam and Eve and Noah.
Really?
Dead serious.
Wow.
So these tablets that existed before the Mesopotamian polytheistic myths, before the Bible's written, these tablets were written in Syria, and they use the names Adam and Eve.
All right, I got a zinger for you.
Okay.
It's a question of my own.
Okay.
You know,
hit me!
So what makes you think that somebody just didn't copy that down? I mean, as far as, oh, look, this is a cool-looking thing that we can start our religion on?
Oh, that's a really good question. And the answer to that is maybe they did. I don't think they did, because the verbiage is different. But even if they did, that doesn't mean it's true or false. That just means they said, this account looks like what we believe, and it was written well. And so if they copied the Ebla tablets, all that means is they shared a belief with what the Ebla tablets believe, which is probably true. They did share a belief with what the Ebla tablets said. And so if you believe something and you found an ancient historical source that believed the same thing, you might quote them, wouldn't
you? There you go, yeah.
And so, you know, so that's not really a problem. Also, in the book of Genesis, it talks about cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, it talks about pagan gods like Baal. These are all things talked about in the Bible that people used to say, oh, those things aren't real. Nobody really believed in Baal. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't real. But on these tablets, it mentions them as well. So now we have things outside of the Bible confirming exactly what the Bible believes.
There you go, making sense again.
Oh, isn't it terrible when we make sense? So that was one of our flamers that had said that our argument for God doesn't count because...
Right.
You know, it was a Mesopotamian story, but now we know the Bible's story predates Mesopotamian mythology.
Excellent. All right. Also, there was the second objection. And of course, the guy was like, Christians are dumb. You know, basically what he said.
Which is really a pretty good argument.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're human.
No, actually, what's that? That is called an ad hominem attack. As a philosopher, we see this a lot. It's attacking the arguer instead of the argument. You know, it's kind of like when the Royals go out to play. You know, actually, I don't really know who manages the Royals or owns the Royals right now. I don't have any idea.
I have no idea.
But, you know, it's as if you were going to say, you know what, the owner of the Royals is an idiot. Well, that doesn't matter one way or another. What matters is whether they're winning games or not.
Right.
It's the same thing. Don't attack Christians. let's talk about the arguments about whether or not God actually exists. So, you know, I think instead of just calling us clowns, you know, smug clowns.
Yes. Let me go ahead and give this quote that he said. He says it took hundreds of years, for Christians to swallow the heliocentric model of the universe. The smugness of these clowns is quite hilarious to watch, though.
We are hilarious to watch.
It makes me feel bad.
Don't feel bad. It'll be okay.
I don't want to be smug. I don't mind being a clown. But I don't want to be smug.
No, look, he just doesn't know us. I mean, he doesn't know that we like to have fun and joke around, right, and stuff like that. So that's okay, you know, but that's an ad hominem attack. But let's answer his real question. Okay. His real question is, wasn't the heliocentric model of the universe real, and didn't Christians reject it for hundreds of years?
Right.
The heliocentric model is the model that says the sun is the center of the solar system and that the earth is not. And a lot of people see this and they talk about, well, you know, guys, this is a real problem because Christians believe the earth is flat. We believe that the earth was the center of the solar system. Have you ever heard anyone talk about this?
Yes.
Yeah. The earth is the center of the solar system. And Copernicus found out that the earth revolved around the sun. And every Christian was throwing himself on the ground, weeping and gnashing, and their teeth, they were crying.
Yes,
and
ripping our clothes and putting dust on our heads.
Right. But that's not the way it was, actually. Okay, I have a quote from Bruce Jakowski. Mm-hmm. He wrote the book Search for Life on Other Planets. And on page 299, he writes this: because of this tremendous change in worldview, Copernicus's views were not embraced by the church. The history of persecution is well known. It's well known by people who don't know history.
Right.
Let me give you a reality check. I'm going to give you a quote from the Archbishop Nicholas Schoenberg. Okay, he was a church authority in the 1500s when Copernicus wrote his stuff.
Okay.
And here's what he said to Copernicus. Some years ago, word reached me concerning your proficiency, of which everybody constantly spoke. So he's complimenting,
right,
Copernicus. At that time, I began to have a very high regard for you, for I learned that you'd not merely mastered the discoveries of the ancient astronomers uncommonly well, but had formulated a new cosmology. In it, he's right here, see, he's saying, you got this new idea.
Right.
And here's what he says. In it, you maintain that the Earth moves, and the sun occupies the lowest and the central place in the universe. Therefore, with the utmost earnestness, I entreat you, most learned sir, unless I inconvenience you, to communicate this discovery of yours to the scholars. Does that sound like he was telling him to shut up?
No.
No, he was saying, tell people about this. And he goes on, he says, and do this at the earliest possible moment. Please send me your writings on the sphere of the universe together with the tablets and whatever else you have that's relevant to this subject.
Sounds like somebody who likes knowledge.
Oh, man. The church's official stance on Copernicus was, publish that stuff.
Right on.
That's good stuff, man. Copernicus actually dedicated his writing to the Pope.
Did he?
He really did. So, you know, this idea that the church rejected Copernicus because he taught that the earth revolved around the sun, that's just nonsense. It's just a myth. It's not true. The church wanted him to publish it. And here's the funny part. The church actually, back then in the 1500s, they believed that the earth was the center of the universe, but that wasn't a good thing. Did you know that?
Right.
Because whatever was in the center of the universe was the most material.
Isn't like the furthest away from like God? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
The further you got away from Earth, you know, to the sun, to other planets, then further away you got into the spiritual realm. And so the Earth was the center of the universe, but that wasn't a good thing for them. That was a bad thing. And so then when they found out that the sun was the center of our solar system, they actually said the sun got demoted.
Yay, we've been promoted.
Yeah, and we got promoted because we weren't. So, you know, those are just a bunch of myths.
Right. So. Very interesting. So, Mythbuster you are. And, you know, if you have questions, go ahead and give us a call. 75-823-9596 here at the studio, or 800-608-1150.
And hit us up on truthrevolution.tv. So check it out. There was this member of our church who was always telling us what to do and how to do it,
yeah,
throwing guilt on us.
Yep.
So
we kicked him out.
That's right.
We kicked out religion.
Revolution Church.
Revolution Church is about building a relationship with Jesus.
And with each other.
And it's about
this
learning
who God is. This is a
truth
revolution. You
so
want to go on the air?
If you're interested in learning about God and building a relationship with Him, come and join us Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Hello, can you hear me?
Roden's West Nile Scrap Metal Buyer can help. Bring your copper, aluminum, batteries,
can you hear me?
Any non-ferrous materials, and get that extra cash.
Hello,
you need
testing
today.
One, two, just a minute here.
Right.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Then north for 4 miles. Look for their big white.
How about now?
Sign.
Can you hear me?
Roden's West, your Nile Scrap Metal Buyer. Want to know if what you have they'll take? Just call 488.
Hold on just a minute. We'll be on the air here in a minute, okay?
Competitively priced Roden's West, right off I-70 in Niles, 4 miles south of Highway 18 on Niles Road.
Everyone is raving about the delicious and authentic cuisine of Salina's newest Mexican restaurant, El Aterón. You'll want to try this. With lunches on weekdays prepared in 10 minutes or less, you'll have plenty of time to get back to work. The Sunday Mexican buffet is only
this is a truth revolution. We'll have you
kids
on the air here in
kids
a minute, okay?
Every Tuesday off the kids menu.
Actually, you'll be. We have one caller
meal.
First, then
try
we'll take
Mexican
you. All right.
Mexican fajita lunch special, only $8.99. El Aterón, North 9th and I-70 at the Econo Lodge, Salina.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt? Sky high interest rates? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We're credit
caller.
Card
what's your name?
We've helped thousands of people become debt
free. Levi, okay.
Months instead of years. All while saving thousands of dollars. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. Call Credit Card Relief, 866-333-9191. That's 866-333-9191. Not available in all states.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and this is Jeff.
You can flame us if you want on YouTube, on our website, send us email, whatever. We'll just answer your questions.
You know, you said something the other day about us being flamed on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, how we've just been persecuted.
Yeah, man, I don't care. That's totally fine. We just want to have reasonable discussions.
Right.
And so if someone wants to have a reasonable discussion with us, give it, man. Let's do this. Let's
right.
talk.
Speaking of reasonable discussions, we have our first phone call.
Oh, yeah.
On the phone with us is Levi.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Levi?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
All right.
We're doing well.
What's your question, buddy?
All right. So some scientists are saying that there's probably life on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't life showing up on another planet kind of prove, like, evolutionary theory and show that we weren't designed? Life just shows up wherever?
Good question. I have a question for you, Levi. Do you have a second?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope this doesn't take too much of your time, but
I'm extremely busy, so I don't know.
How many aliens have you met, Levi?
From Earth or like legal or
like no, not illegal aliens, like extraterrestrials.
Not many.
Okay, right. See, here's kind of the deal. Now, some people would say that they have met aliens, but
right.
we don't actually have any legitimate hardcore proof that aliens exist. And so it's kind of a good question. What if life appeared on other planets? Would that disprove God's existence, or would that disprove that God created the universe? But first, we have to admit we haven't actually discovered life on other planets yet. Second, we have to say this, and let me say this very clearly. Just because life shows up somewhere else doesn't mean God doesn't exist, because life can show up wherever God puts it.
Right. If it's a good plan, it's repeatable.
Sure. I mean, if God put life here on Earth, he might have put life on Alpha Centauri. No, actually, not on Alpha Centauri. That's a
that's
star.
That's a star.
Well, he could have, I guess. But we actually know scientists say that carbon-based life breathes oxygen and uses water is probably what we're going to find if we find anything.
Right.
Now, what we're kind of talking about here, and thanks for calling, Levi, what we're talking about here is the Drake equation. The Drake equation basically says, look, there are so many stars out there, and there's so many solar systems and galaxies. There's billions upon billions, and so there has to be life on some of those. But what they do in the Drake equation, you know, it's actually the Drake equation is N equals R times FP times NE times FL times F I times something F C times L. There we go. That's the Drake
wow.
equation. And
I'm an extreme layman. You may better explain that one to me.
Okay, basically the N is the civilization in the Milky Way that mm-hmm. we can contact, and R is the rate of formation of stars, and they say how the rate of formation of stars times the fraction of stars with planetary system times the number of planets with water, blah blah blah. Figures out how many planets in the solar system or the universe would have life. The only problem is they assume there's only those six or seven things that are needed for life, but there's a lot more that's needed. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, who wrote a new book that we're probably going to be reviewing pretty soon, actually,
uh-huh.
Hugh Ross put together a list of things that are needed for life. Do you know how many things he came up with?
How many?
154 things.
Wow.
Like a galaxy cluster type. Like the fact that our galaxy is in the right type of cluster so that mergers don't disrupt our solar orbit. And if it was too sparse, if there'd be insufficient material in our solar system and our galaxy to let an infusion of gas come to sustain star formation. I mean, you have to have the right galaxy cluster.
Right.
You have to have the right time. You have to have the right biomass to comet infall ratio, meaning like... I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff our brains, we don't even know what he's talking about. But basically, there are 154 things that have to happen for life to exist on any given planet.
Okay.
So it's not that simple.
Right. Do we have time to take another caller? All right, let's go ahead and take another call. And on the line with us, who's on the line?
This is Corey.
Hey, Corey.
How you doing?
Hey, I got a question about your Bible contradiction earlier in the show.
Okay. All right.
You were saying that the book of Matthew was written to the Jews and the book of John was written to the Greeks.
The book of Mark was written to the Jews, yes.
Yeah, book of Mark. How do you know that?
Well, basically, you look at the way they wrote. You know, the book of Mark was written, and he uses lots of historical language, like things that only the Jews would understand. If he was writing to a Roman or a Greek audience, it wouldn't make sense. You know, he says things like Jesus entered Capernaum and the people had come home in Mark 2, and he doesn't explain where that's at. He doesn't explain why people go to the temple in the way they do. Things like, I mean, Mark just says things in a way that would make sense to a Jewish audience.
Mm-hmm.
John, on the other hand, says things that make sense to a Roman audience. He explains things more in depth so that people who don't understand the Jewish religious system would understand it. Plus, when you just look at the numbers, if John was using a time system that the Jews did, it would have put Jesus and people out preaching at like 3 a.m. And so, you know, although it's possible, it's pretty unlikely that they were out preaching at 3 a.m.
I'm getting shoes thrown at him. Shut up!
So does that help out, Corey?
Yeah, it helped out.
All right. Thanks for calling, man.
Right on. Two calls in one day.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. I'll tell you what. We told people at the beginning of the show that we would talk about Christianity and wars.
Right.
We only have about 3 minutes left, so I want to give them a hint.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll cover this a little bit tomorrow? Or next week. because next week is actually the 10-year anniversary of 9/11.
Yes, it is.
And so we're going to talk a little bit next week maybe about evil and how we know God exists and why he allows things like that to happen. And so next week would be a good time for us to have a discussion about Christianity and have we caused wars too.
Right.
Basically, when you look at Christianity and have we caused wars, the answer is sometimes we have. We've done some things that are wrong, but not everyone who calls himself as a Christian is a true follower of Jesus. Matthew 7, Jesus is talking and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, there's lots of people who are going to say they're Christians, but if they go around living their life, just doing whatever they want and using Jesus' name to do it, that's not a real Christian.
Right.
Plus, it's a logical fallacy to say that Christianity is wrong because Christians did stupid things. Christians are going to do stupid things.
Right.
We're human beings just like everybody else. The only difference is we happen to believe in Jesus, so we ask him for forgiveness.
Right.
That's not to say that those wars were a good thing, but I think we've exaggerated those wars. Just a really quick thing, in Jerusalem, the sack of Jerusalem during the Crusades, people say 70,000 people died. The myth, only 3,000 people died.
70,000 people, that sounds like a lot compared to the population back then.
Oh yeah, but really only 3,000 people died. Now 3,000 is a lot, but nothing compared to nearly 100,000.
Right.
In the witch hunts, people talk about 9 million people dying. Not true, only 40,000. In Salem here, only 19 people.
Wow.
So we're going to look at that next week. Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. We're going to talk about God's existence. We're going to talk about why God allows evil. And I hope you join us next week. Hit us up, truthrevolution.tv. Come to YouTube, flame us a little bit, and see if we can make you happy or mad.
All right, have a great week.